we're really not buying a system and a technology buy, but at the core of the services is obviously technology and applications. Most of this is online, but there are supplementary services around it, such as travel agency services, that are critical to have an end-to-end travel transaction take place.
Break it down for me. Are we looking at one vendor instead of three? Right now, I guess it's Northrop, HP, who bought EDS, and Carson Wagonlit. Are we moving to one? Do we not know yet?
We don't know yet. It's a good question. The RFP is fairly specific that we intend to further consolidate the market. And that's driven by a couple of factors. One is the voice of industry and their interest in continuing to invest to meet the government requirements while using the best of commercial adaptability and capabilities. We still have government-specific requirements that does force industry to sort of meet those in less than a fully commercial way. But we are improving and optimizing commercial leverage on it. As we went to the market over the last couple of years and we identified that this is a volume-driven business model, it's a fairly finite number, about 2.5 to 3 million transactions a year, that to have the very best competition, to have the very best cost factor, and to compete it in a way where services could be achieved, it was very clear that industry would like to have that volume consolidated, and then they would invest. The customers want to achieve certain levels of performance better than what we have today in ETS1. To do that, the combination of industry's investment and risk and consolidating the market, we believe, will result in the keenest competition and the best offering. I've got to point out that it isn't a predisposition for one vendor or two vendors. I think it's going to be analytically driven by a very strong process that the government uses in the procurement approach they take. The government is going to be fully engaged with customers, with GSA, on the evaluation teams.
Now, when I looked at the RFP for the new system, there's a lot of mandatory requirements. In fact, I don't even want to go through them all. There are so many. So I'm wondering, how's this Part 2 potentially is going to be different than Part 1.
There are many, many requirements that are incorporated to the end-to-end travel service requirements the government has. The complexity of that is significant, and I think that's reflected in the specificity of the requirements, the depth of the requirements, and the broadness. This is a 15-year contract, so that differs from the original contract, which was 10 years. It took into consideration what we learned over the last 7 or 8 years, how technology does change and how we must be prepared to do so. I'll frame it in the basic pillars that we want to accomplish in awarding this and realizing the services at the customer level. One is improved usability, and that will come from what we believe an improved technology application to better business intelligence, better personalization, the better navigation technologies that are out there today. ETS1 did a really good job improving, all three vendors improved their product from day one to where they are today. And they did focus a lot on improving usability for the customers. But as you said, technology in 2003 and 2004 is a little different than it is in 2010 on to 2020. So we're excited about the market research findings that we had where it indicated that these technology applications are more cost-effective for the government, they're more integratable, and they're more interoperable. So we're anxious to see what industry will do to bring those to the forefront. Let me give you a couple other areas. The optimized online travel planning. One of the biggest customer dissatisfactions was, in our early model, in ETS1, the ability to act like a consumer would at home and use those tools in an effective way were not as prevalent in ETS1 as they will be in ETS2. The commercial booking tools that can integrate to the government requirements today are much different than they were in ETS1. But we did see in ETS1 some significant improvements on two or three of the vendors where they did upgrade the commercial capability of that. And what went along with that was customer satisfaction improved. So we were very certain that that would be a significant change going into ETS2. And the market research to date has indicated to all of us in the customer base the confidence that we'll get that. I'll also add another area that I think is pretty important. Government is very committed to maintaining a sustainability model towards minimizing the carbon footprint. In today's, in the commercial marketplace, you're seeing a significant integration of collaboration tools, telepresence like video conferencing and web conferencing. We anticipate that the ETS vendors will bring us a platform by where those will be able to be brought to the customers on a modular basis so they can have point of choice decisions about whether they travel which way, group meetings, web meetings, or whether they improve their point of sale by leveraging those choices, whether they do a meeting on the web, or whether they move to an airplane and to a hotel in a different city.
Let me jump over to the timetable around the RFP, proposals, potential awards. Give us your timeline Obviously, proposals are due, I think, in October, but when do you hope to make the awards?
The award schedule right now is based on some fundamental issues. One is driven by how many respondents there are. It's a factor of if there are many interested, qualified offerers, that will obviously affect the schedule because we're going to do a thorough review and compete this equally across all. But assuming that our market research is identified within the number that we have planned for, our current plan is to receive responses in October of 2010. We will then move into the winter around January and February, where a certain level of evaluation will be completed. We will move into phase two, where those qualified, capable offerers will then be put through a fairly in-depth and significant independent verification and validation capability. And from there, the government will make its award decision. That independent validation and verification step will prove to the government that the requirements we did add to ETS2 from ETS1 are deliverable and usable at the right capability. And it will also allow us to determine the ability to migrate effectively from ETS1. I'll also add to it that we're targeting mid-summer to late summer to when those awards will be finalized of 2011.
So as you use the IVMV, is that more commonly known as a bake-off? Are you going to be asking for demos or show us what your system could look like?
No, it won't be what it could look like. That will come in the first phase during the evaluation. There will be a demo process in phase one as we go to phase two on the IVV side. They will have to prove its capability. We won't be prototypical in this. This will be up and running and capable to move forward before we make any awards.
Any plans for an industry day or any plans for a RFP day, you know, where you answer, do some Q&A, or a lot of that will be done more typically where it's done maybe by email and then you'll put the answers up on the web?
We're going to be much more, I think, a collaborative. We're going to do all of those steps. We're targeting the week of September 14th for the pre-solicitation conference or the pre-response conference. We haven't finalized that yet, Jason, but it'll probably be up on our website in the next day or so.